Well, hello and welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, brought to you every week by our friends at the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where it is Substravaganza Month. That is exactly what it sounds like, Mr. Foster. Substravaganza.
I imagine that to be an awesome experience. Not even anything else but an experience, DK. And you know what? I would ask you what it is. And you might answer me anyway, but I like to think of it as an experience either way around it.
Yeah, it is that. All the subs are on sale. They're all fresh, hot, made to order. You walk in. And by the way, there's a certain Get-Go in the community. I'm not going to say which one that happens to be near a certain location where a certain football team practices. That if you go there at a certain time of day, you will find any number of Pittsburgh Steelers
in there. DK. You may have given a better answer than trying to find a guy at camp. That's all I'm saying.
That is accurate. Ramon, you know, what I wanted to talk to you about this week principally was players get told in the NFL, you are not wanted. You are not needed. And then in some form or other, they come back. Not always. And sometimes when they're told they're not wanted or needed, they don't. Like James Conner signing with the Arizona Cardinals. The Steelers did not want James back. When you see the amount of money that he got 1 year at $1.75 million, I know. Don't tell me that's not money that he couldn't have gotten from Pittsburgh.
No.
And then there's Vince Williams, who comes back after – pretty unceremoniously being told his services were not needed at that cap hit.
Yeah.
Ramon, what is the mindset of the athlete when that occurs?
There's two mindsets, probably more than – I'm probably going to give you more than two. I'm trying to hold it to two mindsets. In the case of James Conner, man, he's not a Pittsburgh. He's a Pennsylvania kid. He was embodied, embraced, loved, cherished, all of those sentimental, like, adjectives that I'm throwing out, feelings that I'm throwing out of everything Pittsburgh. When you talk about Pittsburgh strong in the last 4 or 5 years, it's James Conner. Even his senior year at college, James Conner could have possibly made more money than some rookies on an NFL roster in Pittsburgh because he was Pittsburgh strong through and through from Erie, PA, literally a cancer, not just a person. I'm talking about a cancer, literally beat that from, I'm not sure, days, months, weeks of losing his life, like to battle back from that. And you get into a situation where I'm just giving you the player psychology of what goes on. You get into a situation where you bought in to be part of a brand, being brought in to be a solution to team needs. And you buy into it as a young guy. You buy into it to say, man, I'm everything that Pittsburgh, and he was that, okay? And go on, start, Pro Bowl, great year. And then the legend of James grows even more.
Yeah.
Where it comes into James, man, and his situation where it's noticeable that Pittsburgh didn't want him back. And both of these situations that I'm giving you, his versus Vince, is this. Everybody has that, it's a business. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I do.
All of that emotion that goes into it, and fans tell you, the man, you're supposed to be for us, and we're for you, and we love you, and all of these types of things. And then for the player, not the fans, for the player, because the thing about the player and the fan is this. The fan is going to forever be a part of the organization, because you've seen time and time again guys come in and guys go, and you learn to deal with it. But from a player's perspective, the hate always goes towards the player when a player chooses not to come back or they're courted by another team. And for no reasons other than it being a business, that it ruins the experience for you. Guys go to another team, and fans sometimes tell guys, you suck. You should have stayed with us. But it's never towards the team, you know? Like, you guys suck for getting let go of, for letting go of Conner. Mm-hmm. Like, that – to me, when I saw him, like, in, what are you, in Arizona Red, I was like, golly, Conner. You know, like, it's the business side of it. And then on the, so for a guy like James, like, he had no choice. when it was obviously just a matter of, man, $1.7 million, I think.
That's it, $1.75 for 1 year. And I'm going to say this, but that is money that the Steelers very easily could have afforded, even if they just wanted James to be supporting cast to whoever it is that they draft. I mean, yeah. Ramon, that is a screaming signal that they just flat out didn't want him on the roster.
So it's two sides of it. It's multifaceted. Let me stop saying it's two sides of it. One, it shows you the value of the running back position. I hate it because it rears its ugly head again. It sucks, okay?
Yep.
Another side of it is they probably have their eyes on somebody else who they think is better, younger, cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
That could be Benny Snell. That could be somebody in a draft, okay? Or it could be running back by committee from here on out. That's what you got to deal with, too. And another aspect of it, though, again, is I go to that point of, like, I'm sure James wanted to be in Pittsburgh, but I'm sure in some part of this, either talking to the Steelers or, honestly, none talking with the Steelers kind of ruined Pittsburgh for him, though. Mm-hmm. You know, like, again, I think in the world of NFL, the game versus NFL, the business, James has probably had his own. All right, this is a for real business.
Yeah, that O thing is something that is it's always been fascinating for me in covering teams, because even though I'm in the locker room, I'm an outsider 100% of the time. I mm-hmm. don't belong there. I'm in there to do a job and I leave. But when you're in there,
mm-hmm.
Ramon, you are the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're not part of it. You're not employed by them. You right. actually embody them. It's a completely mm-hmm. different dynamic. So when at the end of a contract or at the end of a certain situation, you're told you're not,
mm-hmm.
it's a completely different feeling than anything that you could possibly be prepared for. Because on one hand, excuse me, you're out there on the field, you're all in, mm-hmm. you know that every play, with all due respect, can be your last.
Yeah.
Okay? Especially those of you, and you were out there, who were out there with Ryan Shazier in Cincinnati. You know what you're giving, mm-hmm. and you know to whom you are giving it, to what institution. And then you're just told that you're not wanted or you're not part of it. I don't know that that's something that properly can be conveyed to people like, even to people like me on the outside.
It can't, because you buy in to it. Like, and I got to give it to Coach Tomlin, Kev Colbert, all the coaches that Coach Tomlin had and the Rooney family employ. Okay, who you pick, like, everybody gets an okay for at least Mr. Rooney and just everybody in the front office say, hey, yeah, you're a part of it. They do build relationships. That family aspect of it is real inside that building. Mm-hmm. And so with them and how this situation has unfolded for James to say, we just don't want to do business with you, that it's got to hurt. I don't know what we're going to see from Connor in Arizona, you know, mm-hmm. but I guarantee you, he's going to be a different guy at that running back position, because the love stage is over with as far as what he means to this league, you know, what he means at his position. He might be a little bit more selfish moving forward in how he operates, because that's what goes into your mind. Y'all didn't want me. I was a Pro Bowler. You didn't want me. Le'Veon left. Like, I was the guy that was in, and I smoothed over this transition. And now you boot me. Now, Vince Williams' situation, I got a feeling they may have told Vinny, like, we like you. If you find something else, fine. But we're not going to pay you this. And this year, the cap has been a reason why. Vinny was a cap casualty. Vinny still holds value at that position, at that room. Devin is coming back from the ACL. You know, they got Spillane still up the middle, too. And you look at Vinny as being a steady piece that's going to get this group through, a guy that's going to be able to be a leader in this defense still. And Vinny still can play. It's just that now they bring Vinny back, I'm guessing, for lesser. And mm-hmm. Vinny may end up – I'll never discount Vinny, okay?
Mm-mm.
I'm going to say this, but I know the type of guy that Vinny is, because I know – I ain't going to say I know his mindset, but I know Vinny's mind is like mine. they're trying to probably put Vinny in a role, okay? And you know, like, I know Vinny's not going to do well in playing a role like being a rush linebacker or
no,
playing
<he's>
20% of the snaps. If Vinny is out there, he's going to play and going to want to be a starter. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of Spillane and the health of Devin and the other guys that are in that building also. And it all depends on if they draft a young middle linebacker too, which is probably going to be something they got to do. Vinny, I know he was pissed about it. I got the feeling that he was pissed about being let go. And I talked to him for a split second, you know, after he got cut.
Mm-hmm.
And Vinny's savvy enough to know the business. And I think, you know, like I know Pittsburgh, again, like I said, has that family feel. And if you can go back, the odds of winning in Pittsburgh is a lot higher than I'm sure anywhere else.
No, there's no question about that. We're going to talk more about the defense in general and the impact of a couple of guys, Vinny and Tyson Alualu, coming back right after this. Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show, fueled by the Get-Go Cafe and Market. And Ramon, you started talking about Vince Williams being back, and I'm going to presume that your reaction when you heard that news was the same as mine, where it was just like this exhale, like, because look, let's be real here. When this all unfolded, free agency,
yeah,
and Tyson Alualu is gone, and Bud is gone, and now Steven Nelson is gone, and then Vinny's gone, and you're thinking, I'm sorry, there aren't enough standard as the standard guys to compensate for all this.
Culture.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You can culture yourself into oblivion. You still need to have football players.
Yeah.
Okay? And when Tyson came back, my first reaction was, okay, there's one enormous problem solved that did not have another solution to it. With due respect to Isaiah Buggs and Carlos Davis, no, not right now.
Yeah, not now.
Not now. And then Vinny comes back, and I'm going to be honest with you. I think more of Vince Williams as a football player than I do Robert Spillane, even at this stage of his career. I could be wrong. I'd be open to being wrong on that.
Oh, yeah.
But Vince Williams being on your football field and on your sideline and in your huddle is a completely different animal. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. So I'll tell you my reaction when I saw Vinny was going back too. My reaction was, oh, wow. Good.
Like you didn't see it coming.
I didn't see it coming. Absolutely. Because like I said, we had a brief conversation about him getting cut. Okay, and again, I'm for my guys being employed, so I was just like, hey, Vinny, come to Nashville. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
I threw it out there because I'm like, again, when you're around it for a while, DK, and you've seen it, you've heard the stories, you've heard the one big story, of course, around that as far as like not being wanted or you're getting the boot. Like, it's a brutal business behind the game.
Yeah.
So I really didn't expect Vinny back, but when I saw him back, I was like, good. Like, yes, this is good. You know what I'm saying? And again, you made a point to what I said in our last segment was the fact that, look, if Vinny's in that building, Vinny's playing. The same way I feel about Tyson Alualu. Like,
yeah,
you say what you want to about Tyson not living up to the bill of a first-round draft pick. No. Tyson can play.
He was a late bloomer. He was a classic late bloomer. He has first-round pedigree written all over his performance the last 3 years, not two. Everybody talks about since Tyson moved to nose tackle and everything. Tyson was performing at a Pro Bowl elite level for the last 3 years, including when he was just interchanging with linemen. And I have no less an authority on that than one Cameron Hayward and one Stephon Tuitt, who will swear by the guy. Oh, by the way, so will T.J. Watt.
And Javon Hargrave.
And Javon Hargrave will say the same thing.
Think about this. Javon learned from Tyson and made me a better player, and Marquise and Dave also in practice because of what Tyson was doing. I saw Tyson be the same size, same stature somewhat as Javon Hargrave, who at one point for about 2 weeks at free agency in 2020 or whatever, was the highest paid nose tackle. Like, he learned from a guy like that. And so when you said no disrespect to Bugs or the young D tackle,
Carlos Davis.
Yeah. Carlos Davis, new 73. Carlos Davis.
Yeah.
When you say no disrespect to them, that's because you know what Tyson brings to the table. Yeah, Tyson brings that leadership. He brings himself along to teach Carlos and Isaiah if they're willing to learn. This is how you play the position. You guys, all those guys, probably you put them in line same height, about the same weight. So if they're smart, they learn from him. The same way I know Devin is smart because Devin has an NFL pedigree and his father, but and Robert Spillane also, they learn from Vinny. You don't get cut and get brought back the way Vinny is unless you are that type of guy, okay? Like, he may not be where he was as far as Vinny or what you want, but there's a lot of guys, and I think people and fans need to realize this, there's a lot of guys that play damn good roles on teams that are worth more than what they put in their stat column. Vinny is one of those guys. On top of being a hard-nosed guy, too, he's an attitude guy, you know?
Vinny is going to – I'll tell you this right now. And I'm not saying this to you because you know it, but I'm saying this to the people who are listening. Mm-hmm. Vinny is going to blow people up at La Trobe like in a way that I don't think. And I mean, he is going to stand over people. Mm-hmm. He is going to yell out in the direction of the coaching staff that you cut me. You cut this. 100%. You cut this.
You. And you know what he's going to do? If Dev's not on the field, he's going to look up into that press box or where the coaches
Jeff,
and he's going to point up to you.
You.
This is why you brought me back. Okay? And you know what Vince does too, in which I was like, wow, good? There's a factor that left DK and Bud of attitude, of goon mentality that Vinny helps keep in place.
Goon mentality is a phrase that you use occasionally, and I just love it. And I think that part was underappreciated as it relates to Bud.
Yeah,
I don't know that the outside world got to see that as much because he was not a player who was penalized. Like, you didn't see flags get thrown on him. But Bud had not past tense. Bud still exists. He's just in your part of the woods now. But Bud has has a mean streak about him, which belies who he is off the field.
Yeah.
And you want that, and you need that on your defense. You need that snarl. Ramon, let me ask you this. Where we were talking about the defense just 2-3 weeks ago, is it back to the point with Vinny, with Tyson? I mean, you're still looking at, I mean, Cam Sutton was brought back too, and I don't mean to ignore that. That's a big deal. Is this defense still going to be a top 10, top 5 defense the way it was? Is it still going to be able to produce the takeaways it does with no Nelson, no Bud?
The biggest void I think that's got to be answered, it's got to be answered quick, is okay, where? There's two of them. Where's Cam Sutton going to play at opposed to Steve Nelson being out?
Mm-hmm.
Other parties you're missing is, we ain't even mentioned it, but Mike Hilton ain't there either.
Right.
So they got to find a new Mike Hilton, and they also got to find somebody to replace Steve Nelson. The good thing that you have is you have those core guys that you brought up, Cam, Tuitt, Tyson, TJ, Minka, and I'll even throw Terrell in there.
You have to at this point. Yeah, Terrell is solid. Terrell grew up last year. Yeah.
And Joe may be older, but Joe still plays at a high efficient level too. Can they get back there? Yes, when you have that quarter. Thing is, they're going to have to drag the new guys who are in those starting positions with them. And I mean that. And I'm not saying like physically drag them, but you know what I mean by saying, hey, get with us or we're going to call you out. Because that defense is known for that. Like, hey, look, if you ain't doing your job, Cam has no reservations about telling somebody about what they're not doing, because he's always first in line. He's always pushing the envelope on how we play in Pittsburgh, and you know how we play. It's hard nosed. So at the minimum, DK, if you ask me, can they get to top 10, top 5? I say they're top 10.
Oh, okay.
It's a matter of, honestly, how much the offense helps out with the snow offense, with Ben coming back a year removed from his surgery, and what they do in the draft.
Well, that's obviously a big variable of the offense. I mean, the draft is – we'll see. I still want to see a running back in the first round, and I believe –
by the name of Najee.
Najee Harris, but if it's not him, if he's taken, and there are a couple of teams, at 18 and 23 that could take him ahead of 24. I think you still have Travis Etienne out of Clemson.
Yeah, Etienne.
You still have Javonte Williams. You still have other guys that you can take depending on how the Steelers feel about them. Mm-hmm. And after the way they took Le'Veon Bell when everyone else was saying Eddie Lacy.
Ooh.
Remember that? That was all Eddie Lacy. And when the Steelers didn't take Lacy, it was like, oh, no, what are they doing? Whatever. Well, they kind of did okay with that particular selection.
They did. And I'll say this, the way this draft is being front-loaded by, I would say, these receivers and the quarterbacks and one tight end, they'll have a quality pick still at 24.
Yeah, I think so too. And then the draft is also loaded with offensive tackle.
Yeah,
you're the last person that I need to tell that the value of that position, even though you have Zach Banner and you have Chukwuma Okorafor.
Yeah,
you still could always use additional depth there.
Yeah,
not that you would invest a first or second rounder in depth. No. You know what I'm saying?
The development.
Development. Yeah, you could bring someone in like that. And then there's defense, but there's also that this team. Has options. Well, it can still be dynamic defensively. It just can, Ramon.
Yes.
I think if Alex Highsmith, he doesn't have to be Bud in Bud's first year. Bud wasn't Bud in
he
Bud's
was not.
First year. I think Alex Highsmith just has to keep the other team honest.
The thing that Alex Highsmith has for him, and I enjoy that, he brings a lot of the same elements that Bud did. And Bud brought a lot of the same elements that Lamar Woodley brought also.
Mm-hmm.
They're good run stoppers off the edge. Guys that play off that edge.
Such a good point. Such a good point.
James, Lamar, Bud, and now you got Highsmith. Highsmith plays the edge well. And I know I left Jarvis out of it, Jarvis Jones, but he didn't play the run that well either.
Worlds was moved to the left whenever he became more effective, remember?
And
Jason was never a great run stopper either. No. These guys were both – he and Jarvis were both undersized for the position. Jason at least found a way to get back to the quarterback. He was kind of like a sneaky guy. But I feel like in this case, you have – what you need over there in Alex Highsmith is just be good enough. Team offense. And then TJ is still your variable. Minka is still your variable as long as you can get your corners to be stable and function in island settings, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know, Ramon. I'm just not – I know there's a general despondency right now in Steelers Nation about the defense, but I'm not feeling it myself.
I think they're going to be fine. Again, the biggest variable of them all I don't think is necessarily – Bud being gone. I think Highsmith with more reps, he's going to be fine. And I'm not saying that Highsmith is going to be Bud in year one, as you said. The biggest blip to me is Mike Hilton being gone.
Okay.
I don't know who they're going to find or if Cam Sutton's going to play that position. Cam was played as like a new – he was paid as a new starter. Okay.
Well, Ramon, let me tell you what Cam told us that he was told was that he'll basically be outside in a base package, but you know and I know they never use the base package, so he would kick inside in a sub, and then they will use whether it's Justin Lane or Jason Pierre out on the outside in those events. And then continue to use Cam in those types of roles, in those Mike Hilton type roles, in a sub.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. If that's the case,
mm-hmm.
I say this team and the way Coach Butts call it, along with his, you know, they've got like a mastermind group behind this defense and have for a long while, and we know that to be true because in Pittsburgh, you better run the ball, which we learned my last year and the year before. Like you better be able to run the ball and you better play defense. So. Top 10, I can see them being top 10. If we're looking at the scope of the rest of the league, Pittsburgh's still in a way better situation than most. And most leaves you in the top 10.
When we come back, a slice of life with Ramon. Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. All I do is carry water for Moan. That's my job around here.
Oh, my God.
Let's call this portion of it Slice of Life with Ramon, because Ramon's life has remained super interesting even after his playing career, which is not the norm, I will say. And I know for a fact, Moan, that you talk with guys, you communicate with guys who haven't found other things, who don't necessarily immediately dive into something else. And you, in addition to your work with us at DK Pittsburgh Sports, you've also taken on a big job with 104.5 The Zone down in Nashville, the J Mart and Ramon show down there. Is a smash hit from what I understand without being in the Nashville market here. How much fun are you having with that?
I'm having fun, DK. I really am, man. If anybody knew me in Pittsburgh, which a lot of people did, at least on the media side, they knew that my life is going to be somewhat in the media, okay? And I, just to be honest, since we're having a slice real quick.
Slice.
When I initially retired, I wanted nothing to do with, like, the game. I wanted a different challenge, DK. Like, I'm in football. I've been in football since the seventh grade, since 1997. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's where I was, like 1997, 98. I've been playing football. Like, I want to do something else. Don't define me as a guy that plays football. I don't want it to follow me. I went through all of that, DK. Like, I went through all of that. Let me find something new. And I actually had a sales job set up with, like, this big company with, like, a nice, okay, it was really, really set up for me, okay? I was going to work under somebody for maybe a year, and I was going to move up to a really big, I ain't going to say executive side, but, like, I was brought in to, like, bring in the heavy side of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was set up. I was set to do the interview. I did the interview, and the regional recruiter hit me up. And lo and behold, the radio station hits me up right after that.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am balancing the two. And it was actually my wife that was like, Mom, you can go into this world of corporate America and do this and that. She's like, but I don't know if you're going to enjoy it, basically. She's like, I know you don't want to be trapped in the football and sports, but Mom, that's what you know best.
It's not who you are. It's who you are.
And I've done so much prep with that. You. I've done so much prep with you and just other media personalities in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Where it was just like, Mom, stop denying it, okay? And no lie, our ratings have gone up. They've actually gone up, DK, in a dead period. And you know this year to be the dead time of, like, radio.
Sure.
And they've actually still gone up. It's crazy here. Maybe because I'm in Titans land, but when they come up to me, they don't even mention football. They mention, like, the radio show. So for a guy like myself that always wanted to be more than just an athlete, you know, like, they mentioned my second career more. And I'll be honest with you, that was that's pretty cool for a guy that, because we get put in a box sometimes, you know.
Sure.
Football players do.
And it's funny that when you and I used to have these semi-kidding conversations at your store.
They were interviews.
Okay. Well,
they
no.
Job interviews with you.
They were kind of job interviews. But it's like, Ramon, I'm like, you know you're going to come work for us someday. You know you're going to do that.
Yeah.
And you'd look up at me and you'd go, you think so? In your very Ramon voice. You think so? But I waited a month.
Yeah.
I waited a month out of respect.
Yeah.
To even approach you.
Yeah.
And then it was interesting to me that the first few columns that you wrote for us were very much in the spirit of what you just discussed, which was they weren't all that footballish.
No.
There was stuff about youth sports and things that you had observed. And then, of course, things got a lot more serious last year with the race riots and everything else. And you wrote about things like that. And I feel like without being in the Nashville market and without hearing the work that you do with J-Mart, that your own voice is going to lend itself to whatever it is that comes up. And that could be sports. It might even be other sports in Nashville. Heck, I fully expect you to become the authority on Predators hockey before long.
Nah.
But that's, you know, the idea of just being you is the authentic selling point. You know what I mean? Regardless of the subject matter.
I appreciate you saying that, man. And I think I got a boss now. I think my boss kind of feels the same way you do, man. They said something to me. It was I think most guys would probably take offense to when you get into this world or when they start talking about your personality. They were just like, you know, you're likable. Like, the hell you mean I'm likable? Like, I'm this soft-headed. Like, but then they say stuff like, no. Like, you're approachable in this world of being in the sports media, especially a former player. A lot of guys put themselves above people. And it's like with you, like when I go to my son's like baseball games and just out somewhere, people literally will walk up to me and we'll start a conversation, DK. And they were just like, when you're, you know, you're giving yourself to the crowd and they see you on the radio through your voice, like that's what happens. So I appreciate you seeing that in me and it just being a part of what we've grown into with DK Pittsburgh Sports. And just I appreciate being a part of the ride with you too, man, and this slice we're having right now.
That was a slice of life with Ramon Foster, which is always fun. We will do another Ramon Foster show next week here on DK Sports Radio. Thanks, Moan.
Absolutely, DK. Anytime.